The phrase "bring back our girls" captured the national conscience in April of last year. It prompted hundreds of thousands of tweets and posts about 200 Nigerian schoolgirls that had been kidnapped by the African militant group Boko Haram. Even First Lady Michelle Obama got involved. She made a YouTube video and talked about her outrage and heartbreak over the kidnapping. For a time, it seemed everybody was paying attention. Now, though, few people talk about the fact that most of the girls are still missing. 57 of the students who were kidnapped were able to escape on the night of the attack, and 21 of those girls are now students at the American University of Nigeria. Journalist Joshua Hammer documents the students' journey in the September issue of Smithsonian Magazine. He joins us now. Joshua, thanks a lot for talking with us.
Thanks for having me, Lisa.
In the article, you profile this very interesting woman from Woodland Hills, California, Margie Ensign, who is the school's president. She is an educator, but she went kind of headlong into the fight against Boko Haram by helping out the girls that Boko Haram was kidnapping. What is she like, Margie Ensign?
She's high energy. She's a small woman. She's barely 5 feet tall. She's just crackling with energy and ideas and running around doing a dozen things, juggling stuff, you know, raising money, teaching a course, doing this thing with the girls, the Chibok girls, always on the go. Best way to describe her is just high energy, high octane.
And a high level of courage, too. I mean, she has to be
kind of
unflappable to do what she did.
Absolutely.
And you begin your story this way. When she, you know, placed herself right almost in the sights of Boko Haram's guns, she goes out to find young women who had escaped from Boko Haram. Can you just describe that scene for us?
Yeah, well, she had gotten the word from a student at the university that her sister had escaped from Boko Haram and wanted help desperately. So she tracked the sister down, found out that there were lots of other girls who had escaped, begged the local security forces to help her get up there. She had everything lined up, but then they bailed out at the last minute. So she and her personal security guy got in a van, went up by themselves through the bush, war-torn, shattered buildings, Boko Haram possibly waiting in ambush, made this rendezvous deep in the bush near Chibok, piled the girls into the van, and then drove back to the university.
And who were the girls?
At that time, there were 11 girls and their families. The 11 girls had been in at that school, at the Chibok school, the night that the Boko Haram terrorist group had kidnapped almost 300 girls and driven them off into their encampments out there in the bush. These 11 had managed to escape. They'd had the presence of mind either to flee during the kidnapping at the school or after being herded onto the trucks, had jumped off the trucks, grabbed onto vines or tree branches and escaped that way, or at a rest stop, managed to run into the bush and just not come back.
Okay, so the president goes out, and she, along with a former U.S. Marine who's her main security guard, they go out. They keep the engines running because they can see these shadowy figures off on the outskirts of town and figure these must be people who are working for Boko Haram or Boko Haram. They make off with the girls, bring them to the university for an education. What was that like, the transition for the girls, many of whom you spoke with?
I spoke with three of them, and the transition was not easy. Obviously, they did not speak English well. The school was not well equipped. The teachers were not very good. They just were. I'm talking about their high school. I mean, it's just a very poor area, and they suddenly had all of these incredible assets: laptop computers, Wi-Fi, $11 million library. I mean, all this stuff that this wealthy Nigerian guy had endowed the university with, and they were overwhelmed and kind of delighted, and they went on shopping sprees with Margie and began intensive tutoring. So they began to make the transition pretty well, but their big problem, of course, was the psychological effects of this kidnapping, which they had survived, which really stayed with them. I mean, the event itself was brief. They had escaped, but my sense from talking to them and talking to others was that the fate of the 250 or so others who were still in the hands of Boko Haram and who had been friends and schoolmates, and many of them from the same villages, that they were tormented by this, by imagining what their lives were like. And of course, there were great feelings of guilt. Why did we escape? All of that they were struggling to deal with as they also were trying to adjust to this radically new environment.
Do we know, for those girls who are still in the custody of Boko Haram, do we know what their life is like?
We can imagine it because although There have been photos of these girls that have been released on the social media, and you see them all with their wearing their hijabs, their Muslim headscarves. We know from having talked to other escapees who've been in the bush with Boko Haram, the situation is not good. I mean, you do hear, let's not beat around the bush, I mean, stories of rape, constant, frequent, daily rape, humiliation, torture, beatings, starvation, forced marches through the bush, days in the heat. So it's clearly a horrific situation. Nobody has really had contact with these girls since the early accounts offered by their captors. And so we don't know for sure, but you can only extrapolate from what others who've escaped, who've been liberated, have said.
So among those are the girls who are now, the young women who are now at the American University of Nigeria. Margie Ensign, the president of the university, one thing you write is that she is a big believer in the healing power of the small gesture. And you give one good example of that.
Yeah, one of the things that she discovered early on was that none of the girls knew how to swim. And there's a big swimming pool, one of the many luxuries at this university. It's an American university club and big swimming pool in the middle of the bush. It's just, it's an odd sight, but there it is. And she went on a trip back to the U.S. In the middle of the semester, Frank, the first semester the girls were there. She bought Speedo bathing suits for all the girls.
Which they had never seen before and weren't too happy about.
No. They live, you can imagine their environment. They don't have swimming pools up in the bush of Nigeria. So none of the girls had ever been in the water before, you know. So she coaxed them in that kind of persistent, charming, reassuring way she has to change into their bathing suits. Of course, one big concern was there were men around, you know. These are modest, I mean, the Christian girls, they're modest girls, you know, in an African, West African environment. So that took some doing. She picked a time Sunday morning when the American University Club was deserted, brought them all down, got them into their bathing suits, which they were hugely embarrassed to put on, led them into the water, into the shallow end. And of course, the girls were frightened and disoriented. But gradually, over weeks and months, many of them gained confidence. And by now, a bunch of them are swimming. They've learned to swim. She's a swimmer. She's a West Coast surfer, swimmer, athletic woman. So she just kind of took charge, as she always does, and gave them swimming lessons and just has stayed with it all through the year.
You know, it seems as though that may sound like a small gesture, and the girls learning to swim is of course, a skill. But there's something subversive about what she's doing, even in teaching these girls how to swim, but certainly in bringing them to the university. What is gained by the community? And what is lost by Boko Haram when this kind of thing happens?
Well, I would say that the university itself and the girls going to school is a strong rejection of everything that Boko Haram stands for. Boko Haram is an organization that oppresses women, that terrorizes and terrifies the communities, whether they're Christians or Muslims. It's indiscriminate. They are deeply, fundamentally opposed to education of any kind. They have very retrograde, regressive, fiercely fundamentalist Islamic beliefs. And the university flies in the face of this. And it stands for everything that they're not. And the girls, by offering this to the girls and showing Boko Haram, who, believe me, are aware of what's going on down there. They've tried to attack Yola, where the university is, on a couple of occasions, but have been beaten back. This just says, you know, that we do not accept what you stand for and who you are, and we are here, we're not going away, and our students are thriving here, including some of the ones who you wanted to kidnap and enslave and rape. They are here and they are thriving, and that's about as powerful a message to Boko Haram as one could. It's a small message, it's a small gesture, but it's a powerful one.
Joshua Hammer is a freelance journalist and frequent contributor to Smithsonian Magazine. His article, Escape from Boko Haram, is in the September issue. Very nice to talk to you, Joshua.
Thank you, Lisa. Nice to be here.